Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Pneumatic Hoss. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's show is entitled We Are Intricate Patterns of Breath Energy, Conjoined to Jesus in His Soma, or in His Body. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18. Flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here Paul has provided for us a very profound insight into who we are as the consciously believing ones, or as the called out ones. He begins by telling us in verse 13 this very important reality, that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And in verse 20, he tells us, for you are bought with a price. And price, of course, is the blood of Christ Jesus. We are told in the book of Acts that God purchased the church or the ecclesia with his own blood. Isaiah 53 is a very powerful picture about salvation history and the salvation event that was accomplished through Jesus the Messiah or Yeshua HaMashiach. A great book to read very thoroughly, very deeply, is The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah by Alfred Ayrshire. Of course, it is an old book, but the scholarship is still relevant. And Ayrshire gives some rich insights into Hebrew culture and Hebrew thought forms. Once again, the book is entitled The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. And do not purchase the abridged version of this book if you should so choose to purchase it. Get the unabridged version and invest yourself. It will be time well spent, and you will be challenged in a great way. And so new reality. I want you to note the context in which Paul gives this great statement in verse 17. He is, of course, speaking to believing ones at Corinth. city known for profligacy and heinous immoral behavior. Nevertheless, a church, a community of called out ones, had been established there. Now, that is a significant note for our study, because it will show us how Paul used doctrine not to bludgeon someone or anyone or a group of believers, but to point out to them the new reality in their lives. The flesh is very powerful in the lives of all believers. And so Paul gives a great dissertation in his letter to the Romans on the flesh. And he tells us that we are to reckon ourselves dead to the flesh, dead to sin. And so therefore we can no longer practice sinful behavior. And his letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, Paul writes, ye died. And he says, therefore, we are to render the members of our body ineffective towards sin, but alive unto God, flesh, for we are not to allow the flesh to have any power in our lives, in other words. Because Sark, according to the Galatians chapter 5, thoughts of the flesh it just eradicates the great work that God is doing or will do in an individual's life who is submitted to Him. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17, Paul writes that he that is joined unto the Lord is the Spirit. And please note that as Paul is using this verse, or the way this verse is being used here, first of all, the word he that is joined unto the Lord, the idea there is that of glue. And this word is a present middle passive participle. And so he bespeaks an event of which one is not physically aware or conscious of, but an event nevertheless that is distinctively real. Doctrine is real, and doctrine is living. He speaks to new and living reality that we have in Christ. Doctrine is not just given to us so that we can learn a few things here and there. Doctrine is given to us in the Scripture because doctrine is the breath of God. The Scriptures we are told are the indeed the breath of God. The Scriptures are in breathing of God. Now, I don't like to spend time in apologetic and defending the Scripture against what some writer has said. You and I know that writers come and go, but this book remains. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And so don't take up a lot of your time reading a lot of stuff from naysayers. Now, there's some that may be worth reading, but spend your time constructively. Spend your time in God's Word. Because we're told that in Hebrews, Word of God offer them any two-edged sword. We're told that the word is alive. In John chapter 1, we're told John speaks about the Logos and the incarnation of the Logos. The term Logos means means speech and thought. And so the Anthropos, the God-man, Christ Jesus, comes to us and he reveals to us or unveils the thinking of God, and he gives voice to the God thinking for us. So it's very beautiful. God's thinking toward us is not like the way we think about ourselves. And that is indeed wonderful. Think about the thought forms that you and I have inherited from very well-meaning family members and friends and teachers. Think about these thought forms. Think about what you have read in the scripture and what you have learned from divine viewpoint. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He is the one, the only one, who can do exceeding beyond all that we ask or think. So with regard to ourselves, the psalmist, one of the psalms more than the sand of, think about that. So, the God who created us anew in Christ Jesus has joined himself to us, or we are joined to him. Peter tells us that we have been made partakers of the divine nature. Think about that. We have been made partakers of the divine nature. And so we are conjoined to Christ. Now, it is obvious that we do not feel this physically, feel it in any way, but it is nevertheless true. It is nevertheless real. You and I are breath. We have a pneuma, a spirit, and we have a psuche, psuchos. We have a soul, and we have soma. We have body, soma. We have soul, psyche, psuchos, and we have spirit, pneuma. God is eternal spirit, and our bodies are made up of the molecules that we find in nature. You and I know that we are carbon-based life forms, that is, our somas, our bodies, and which are made up of molecules. So, think about all those believers who, from the first century on up to us, who have Jesus in his body. Paul's letter to the Ephesians is concerning about seeing the body of Christ. And Paul uses in his letters, his 13 letters, he uses the term in Christ upwards of 148 times. 148 times Paul uses this important, this compelling prepositional phrase, in Christ, in Christ, in him. We are predestined in love. So here's where we should labor in studying the scriptures so that we might come to terms with our new identity. And yet you and I are physically localized in space-time here on Earth. Paul also writes in his letter to the Ephesians that currently, right now, present tense, you and I sit in the heavens in Christ. In the heavens in Christ Jesus at this very moment. We are joined to Him. We have koinonia. We have joint things in common with Him. Koinonia is the word, the term, fellowship. We have koinonia with Jesus. We share joint things in common with Him. Another reality to contemplate. Meditation is important for believing one. In Joshua chapter 1, or Yeshua chapter 1, the great general is told to meditate on the word, Psalm 1. We're told to meditate upon the word. Begin to understand our temporal lives and our relationship to eternal death or eternal burial in Christ. Now, to say that we are intricate patterns of breath energy may be confusing to some. And instead of saying spirit or soul, I chose these words because the Genesis document opens, that is the first word in the Hebrew at least, is the word Elohim. And then we read that Spirit of God, or Ruach Elohim, hovered over the ruined creation. And Spirit of God radiated energy and began the process of creation. So we are conjoined to Him in a vital way. We have been made partakers of the divine nature. And Paul writes here that he that is glued unto the Lord is one spirit. Now, he doesn't mean one in essence. Doesn't mean that we are one in essence, but we are joined to Christ in an organic and mystical unity. This is the different theology that is prominent in the Gospel of John. Very, very simple, almost childlike language, you and me and I, yet it's so profound. And John there uses the word that has been translated believe upwards of 98 times. Believe. And so as we believe, grow, as we accept through faith the doctrine that we study, we grow up into the spiritual maturity comes about. Spiritual maturity does not in Christ, does not come about merely reading a lot of books. And let me say this, and people understand the way I'm saying this. One can read the Word of God. And so it is by faith. It is through pistis. It is through faith. The intake knowledge that is gnosis. And it is by faith that the gnosis or the knowledge that we take in becomes epiphany. And so Peter writes, we are to grow in talent or grace and in the epignosis of our Lord, not in a mere intellectual comprehension of doctrine. Because if it is merely intellectual, then that is Western. It is when we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the essence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it will be demonstrated in a radical change in our lives, in our attitude, in our thinking. The change is very powerful then. And God also takes us wonderfully, though not at the time they may be, it may feel wonderful, but God takes us through situation, circumstance, that teach us, as the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, not to depend upon ourselves, but upon God who raised the dead. That is a divine blessing, because we learn to depend on God. Psalm 119, the psalm states that until he was afflicted, well, there is a compelling reason for God bringing affliction to our life. And so that we will learn what to do in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. God wants us to learn to lean not upon our own understanding. Because no matter how much we learn and research, our viewpoint is not God's understanding. And I want to drive home the point that we are different beings now. Now that we are conjoined to Jesus. We are different beings. If anyone in Christ, he is new creation. That is, the word is qualitatively new. Qualitatively new creation. Old things from the past have been done away with. In other words, there has been a distinct hiatus. We have to understand that hiatus. There is a distinct antithesis, not a synthesis, but a distinct antithesis. The old things are gone. They have been removed from us in God. And so, the chronic things in the chronic tissue, God wants to cut out. God wants to get rid of the necrosis in our lives. He wants to lay the necrotic tissue. And we, as we go in his word, begin to understand why this process must take place. Why God wants to cut these things out. Because these things of our past are about the works of the flesh. And if we seek to hold on to the past or to the works of the flesh, we cannot grow. And God in his love brings situations into our lives that teach us dependency, healthy dependency. And so that is blessing. We grow up in depth. We begin to understand who we are. And we leave behind the stoichia, the elemental things of the flesh, the elemental things of the past. Paul talks about the stoichia. In his writing. We leave these things behind because now we have our new identity in Christ. Verse 17, once again, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit, and he writes, flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Now, in the Old Testament temple, there are two main portions. There was the holy place and then the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died, the veil of that temple was rent in twain, or rent in two, because in the Old Testament, only the high priest was allowed to go once a year to into the inner sanctuary of the Holy of Holies, sprinkle blood over the holy, and the cherubim was on top were there too, by the fire of that priest. And the high priest sprinkled blood of some say the blood of at one for the people of God. That temple, excuse me, that prison was rent into from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. And so, which speaks that now there was a new, God has provided a new and living way. So we no longer needed a high priest or the high priest to go in once a year to make that one more atonement. God had made atonement for himself in the person of Jesus. So the blood of bulls and goats could never take away, but the precious blood of the Savior did. We are cleansed of sin through the blood of Christ. We are cleansed. And now it is up to to allow this doctrinal truth to become real in our own hearts and in our own lives. So we give up false guilt. We give up rehearsing the path that we can never make different. We begin anew today. Let today be rich with new thinking, new attitude, a new way. Stop rehearsing the past. You cannot change it. It has already occurred. Now we learn a new skill, that is, think about the day. Think about the needs of the day, the deeds of the day. Say wonderful things to those within your periphery whom you love, and begin to have a new relationship with God in the present, right now on this day. My name is Dr. Snyderidge. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.